The manger is empty. Now what? I met a pastor who only ever did 5 years in a church because he only had five Christmas Day sermons. And after that, he had to move on. And in 8 years, I have always done Christmas Day, but I have actually never done the last Sunday of the year. My custom is to immediately go on holiday and hoon off somewhere and start reading a book, or go swimming or fishing or horse riding or whatever. So here I am, having to face something that I haven't done for 8 years, and that is, what on earth do you do on the last Sunday of the year before you head into the new year? And it's like, what's the right custom? What do we do? And really, when you stop of it, you can't do anything but look forward to the new year. And in looking forward, we also stop to reflect backwards, what has the year been like? And then I thought, oh, here's my chance. I should start thanking people for what they've done during the year. And being a bear of small brain, I decided that was a bad idea, because I would start by saying thank you to Janice and Logos and Roshi for doing the flowers every week and never getting any acknowledgement for it. And then I wanted to thank the people who do the greeting and the people who do the prayer. And then I'm going to forget someone and cause offense. So I'm not going to do that, because I don't like causing offense. But I can reflect backwards to the year and certain things in it that made it an interesting year and a really good year. One of the things was having Hallie and Dina and their family come and join us, and asking Hallie to do the family prayer in his own language, because his English is limited, but it's getting better. And what an absolute delight it is to have someone like that who's prepared to speak in his own language and push us to becoming even more accepting of those that are different to ourselves. What is your custom at the end of the year and starting the new year? Is it to make a resolution for a revolution in your own life? You know, one of those little things where you sit there and think, I am going to lose weight. Yeah, right. I am going to read my Bible daily. Didn't happen. I am going to And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, why instead don't we seek a revelation rather than trying to make a resolution? The manger is empty. Now what? Luke 2, 41 says this. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I started reflecting on that, that the baby that was in the manger didn't stay in the manger. He grew, and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I wonder whether that's what God actually calls us to do. Can Jesus say that over us? And Rebecca grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And Denise grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Doris grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Because this is something that Paul often talked about in Philippians, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at the goal, but I press on to take hold of which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it all. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And as I reflect on this, of the Jesus, the boy, the man at 12 years old, growing in wisdom, and this perhaps this call of God for us to continue, no matter what our age, to mature in him, how do we do it? And how do we attack the new year? There's some great ideas. We could make a resolution to do daily devotion if we don't do it. We could get a book to help us, a daily reading note that would keep us on track. We could choose a person to pray for daily through the next year. A person to bless regularly. We might sit with God and choose to dedicate a gift that we should do regularly to someone over the year. We could decide to be more dedicated to prayer. And then there are things that are forced on us. Cheryl, before Christmas, made the great announcement over coffee one morning, I'm going to start decluttering the office. No, it wasn't all. It was, what the heck? Because I had bought her a gift and hidden it in the office because it's a room she never goes into. I said, no, you can't. And all of a sudden she got excited because she was going to get a gift. So I got up one morning and she was still asleep, so I smuggled the gift into the ute and brought it into my office here. And then I announced to her that she can declutter, and nothing happened. Well, something did happen. She walked into my office and said, oh, who's that gift for? Never mind. She has now started decluttering, and then I get sort of drawn into this. Yeah. And so I had to sit in the office and I was going through some stacks of things and I found a whole heap of Joel's certificates. So they went into a box because they have to go to Joel, not us. We're not his storage unit. And then right at the bottom, I found a certificate for me, framed and everything. And it was my registration as a Baptist pastor. But that was my first one. You get registered every year. But to get registered, you also have to do something. Professional development, they call it. And so I have to do a course over a year, every year, to keep that registration up. As I head towards retirement, maybe I could drop it, I don't know. And so I've done preaching course because I need to improve preaching. And one year I did a whole study on trees in the Bible and had to make things out of wood and all sorts of things. And this year I've got a reading assignment, 9 books that I have to read. And then my supervisor said, that's not good enough. I want you to journal. No, I don't journal. I just don't journal. I can't do it in handwriting because by the time I've signed my signature, my hand's got cramp. So I'm going to have to type it and I'm going to have to learn how to journal. And so this is my big push. Maybe some of you have decided that you need to journal. That this is going to be a way of you stepping closer to God, maturing in Him, reflecting on what He's saying to you. So I have 3 journals. Anybody want this? This one's for people who don't like writing because there's not so many pages. Anybody want it? Anybody want a journal? I saw that hand. Do you want to be saved? A ladies' one? I don't know why it's a ladies' one. Might be something to do with pink. A man's one. Hold that thought. Men. Any men want a journal? I saw Neil's eyes drop. Andrew. See, because if I'm going to journal, some of you are going to journal as well. And that's going to have to be a discipline for me, and sometimes discipline is good. But what I really want to share is how do I attack a new year? I have a custom. The custom started 26 years ago. The previous year, Cheryl and I had sought the Lord, and we felt that this is what He had told us. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Along with that, we also were prayed for that the fire of God would come onto our lives. And it was one of them very, very difficult year. There was falling out with family members. We struggled with the crops that I was growing. And eventually, because I was working reasonably long hours, like 60, 70 hours a week, I ended up in hospital. And ended up with major surgery, chopped from here to here. Back in the olden days before laparoscopic surgery. And that was, I think, if I remember rightly, the 15th of December, I was wheeled into hospital, into surgery. Eventually came out, and one of the youth group parents, the youth group I was running, gave me a lazy boy to borrow out of his shop, furniture shop. And so I would sit there. And on New Year's Eve, I sat, and I can remember weeping because of the year that we had had. And I started what has become a custom of seeing the new year in by asking Him to speak to me rather than me come up with all the silly ideas of what I think I should achieve. That very first year, He spoke very, very clearly to us, to me anyway, but to us as a couple, that it was going to be a good year. It was going to be an easy year, which was really, really neat. And Joel was born. Good year? Yeah. It was a very good year. And so since then, I have always started my year by seeking not what do I have to offer? What is his revelation to me for the coming year? If you've had the privilege of walking into my messy office during this year, you'll see two scriptures on the walls. And they came to me during my time of prayer for the new year. These are scriptures that now I have held, and if you like, I swim in during the year. They're foundational for me. But I have come over 26 years to realize that when God speaks to me through the scripture, he's speaking about something that I need to learn and grab hold of during the year. These are the two verses that are on my wall that I've had for this year. Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. It's become real. The beginning half of the year was difficult. The beginning of the year, I had to come back to the scripture, to this revelation that God was calling me beyond my circumstances to sit in his temple and gaze upon his beauty and who he is. The second scripture was in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I've had to swim in that. I've had to immerse myself in this verse for the year. I've come to understand when the burden is heavy and I can hardly bear it, that it's not from him. Because his burden is light. His burden is easy. I've had to again sit and contemplate about Jesus and his gentleness and his humility, and somehow allow him to regenerate that in me as I try to mature as a follower of Jesus. Lately, I've had Luke going around in my mind, Luke 10, where Mary and Martha had this spat about who was doing all the work. And Jesus said, hey, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, because she sits at my feet. So there is a time to draw from the past and remember scriptures of the past, like Armin shared with us today. Thank you for that, Armin. And there is a time for a new revelation of God speaking to us. As we go into the new year, I wonder whether it's time for us to get a revelation for the year rather than for us to promise promises that we cannot keep. What I want to do now is I want to read a scripture. If you've gone to Lynn Chu's place for the quiet prayer mornings, you'll know what this is all about. I'm going to read it through once. And the first time, you can close your eyes. You can, if you find it boring, you can go fishing in your head, like sometimes I have. But have an anticipation that God might want to speak to you. And as I read through the scripture, I just ask that you would be aware that God is going to speak to you in a word or a phrase or a whole sentence. And just lock into that. And then we're going to have a moment where you can reflect on what he has said. I will read it a second time. And I like the idea that this is when you chew on it. So you wait in anticipation as I read through to that God has already spoken to you, the revelation that he has spoken to you, the word or the phrase or the sentence. And you start chewing on it. And what I mean by chewing is, God, what does this mean? What are you saying to me? What are you revealing about yourself? What are you revealing? What are you asking of me? And we will have a time of quiet for reflection. And then a third time I will read it through, and this is when you swallow. This is when you take what Jesus is saying to you and take it deep in you and allow it to settle inside. And I just wonder, and my prayer is that something from this will lead you towards the new year, where perhaps you might like to pick up a custom of spending some time waiting on God and waiting for him to speak to you a scripture that will take you and carry you through the year. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, because we all probably want a blessed new year. I'm also reading in the Amplified Bible. Let's sit with Jesus, and Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Blessed, content, sheltered by God's promises, are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed, anticipating God's presence and spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. Blessed, spiritually calm and full of joy, resting in God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love, are those who are persecuted for doing that which is normally morally right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous, and spiritually alive with life joy in God's goodness are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of your association with me. Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely unlimited. For in this same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, and to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, and those who regard themselves as insignificant. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Blessed, content, sheltered by God's promises are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed, anticipating God's presence and spiritually mature are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. Blessed, spiritually calm and full of joy, resting in God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons and daughters of God. Blessed, comforted by inner peace with God's love, and those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life joy and God's goodness, are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all things of evil things against you because of your association with me. Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely unlimited. For in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, and to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect, are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Blessed, content, sheltered by God's promises, are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed, anticipating God's presence, and spiritually mature are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. Blessed, spiritually calm and full of joy, resting in God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons and daughters of God. Blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love, are those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life joy and God's goodness, are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of your association with me. Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely unlimited. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you speak to us. May we allow your word to go deep into us that we might live out of it, out of what you speak to us, out of what you call, out of the revelation that you give. And Jesus, as we finish this year, in all its brilliance and excitement of the year and all the trials of the year, and as we head towards a new year and reflect on what has been and what is to come, may we be faithful in spending some time with you. And instead of coming with many words and many promises, that we would come and seek your face and seek your lips, that we would allow you to speak to us a truth, a revelation that we can live out for the year, that we might dwell in your word, that it might be a part of us. Lord, we just want to stop and thank you for being with us. And we thank you that we have the privilege of knowing each other. And as we roll out the few days left of this year and head into the next, we thank you that you are a God that we can trust, and that, Jesus, you are strong and kind. Amen.